Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Albin Hears. Father Peter is the founder of Uncut Mountain Press and the rector of the parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in a small village in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. In this podcast, Father Peter shares with us his 10 years of experience of living the faith and serving the church in Greece. Here's Father Peter.
Greetings once again from Greece. Well, today's program will be devoted to a visit to the hospital. I've just come out of a clinic here in central Thessaloniki and a visit to a parishioner, in fact, an old church warden who served the church for many years, who's now toward the end of his life and maybe on the verge of departing this life. And we were able to be with him. He doesn't communicate. He understands what's happening, but he doesn't communicate with the environment. But we were able to say the supplication service for the sick and read the gospel and read the prayers for the sick and talk to his wife. And I wanted to share with you some of the impressions that I have as a priest and as a priest here in Greece in such circumstances. What immediately occurs to me when I'm faced with such circumstances is that in these moments, these very difficult moments for most people, because they're in their life, the spiritual reality oftentimes has not been confronted and dealt with, and now they're facing eternity. And they're having to deal with it, whether they prefer to or not. What comes immediately falling down and shattering to pieces is the masks that we all wear. We all wear various masks throughout our life. First of all, we mask to our own selves, our true selves, because many times dealing with our passions is not a very pleasant experience. And so we paint an image, an idol of ourselves. And we like to believe that this idol is, in fact, our true selves. Well, at times like these, when one is facing death, these idols come crashing down. And one has to deal with the reality that I am this. And all the works and all the thoughts and all the feelings that we've had throughout our life, especially those which our conscience has buried, they come floating to the surface. And that's oftentimes by God's providence, so we can deal with those and we can be rid of whatever we've done that's not according to the will of God. And we can be set free from those. And so when we depart into eternity, we do not have those as to accuse us and for the demons to use against us before the judgment seat of Christ. And so it's allowed by God, and that's why these moments are oftentimes moments of great opportunity for the spiritual life, moments where there could be great spiritual gain if we are open, if we have humility, and we want to make that leap of faith to look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves. And so it is that many times in these situations, the person who leaves the world, or who's on the verge of leaving the world, and God knows when and how each soul will leave, and why they leave at the hour they do, the people around this person are oftentimes brought to contrition. And so one hears confessions, impromptu confessions from their life. And it's a desire for them to become clean and be at peace with their past sins. And so it's a great opportunity not for the priest only, not even mainly for the priest, of course, to do something good for those. Hopefully we can help the soul and all the souls who are going through this in this trial to make steps toward God and to away from the sin and the passions. But for those who are experiencing it, it's a tremendous opportunity. And oftentimes people stand before death and have tremendous concerns. Why is my husband or my son or my wife not leaving this world? Why are they having troubles? Why is it going so long and they're in such pain or they're in such torment Or why is it that the soul doesn't seem to leave the body, which is oftentimes the case, and so the priest is called to come and read the service for the psychorogunda in Greek, which means essentially the soul that is not able to depart the body because of some kind of impediment. And the prayers are said for the remission of the sins of the soul. So oftentimes they're wondering what's this all about, and of course it's a mystery exactly what God has in mind. But there are general rules, general ideas that the fathers have given us. And oftentimes when you see a soul that is not able to leave the body and depart in peace, it's because something needs to be confessed. A prayer of forgiveness needs to be read because they've done something. And the Lord wants them not to, because they had a good disposition in life. See, there are others who do not have a good disposition. They're not really disposed to God. But there are others who wanted to serve the church, who wanted to serve God, but they fell at times into even cursing the priest or saying bad words against the priest or against God or blaming God. And these things can be used and will be used against the soul. The conscience will accuse itself, but the demons as well. And so God does not want them to leave the world with these on, because they had a good disposition. And so he allows for them to go through this time of trial, both because that will be all the suffering that we have in this world is not in vain. It's for a particular reason. Others suffer because of their sins. Others suffer because of their virtues, because they've arrived. The saints have arrived and suffer from this world for a greater glory in the next. Because the demons and this world hates them, and so they take on, as St. Paul says, to fulfill the sufferings of Christ, the cross of Christ, to continue the redemption of the world even through the suffering of the saints. But most of us today, because the world is literally submerged in apostasy today, and many of us Christians, in fact, are, whether we know it or not, oftentimes we don't understand because we don't have the criteria, the spiritual criteria to understand what's happening. We're oftentimes in a state of apostasy to lesser degrees. In other words, we're not close to God. In other words, we're not in the circle of God. We've done something to offend. We've done something to distance ourselves from God without even understanding it, because we haven't paid attention to what God wants from us. We haven't paid attention to the commandments. It's not our concern. Our chief concern in his life is not to obey and to do his commandments. And so, therefore, we're ignorant of what he wants, and therefore we do things that oftentimes are not the will of God, and not for our own benefit. And so we're in a state of apostasy. And this world is submerged in a state of apostasy. So oftentimes, suffering that we go through, and especially at the time of when the soul is nearing departure, is for our benefit, to have something, to give an apology to God before the dread judgment seat, to be able to say that here I was patient in this suffering, and the sins that we've committed throughout our life, they not go with us, and the weight of the sins are lessened because of this. And so we see in these moments a tremendous spiritual battle going on, a tremendous spiritual battle. Yeah, there are cases. We've had cases in the church here where I personally have had a case where there was a man who came to communion, and because I had made announcements for all who would want to commune at Christmas or Pascha, they need to go to confession if they'd not gone recently. And so I knew that this man probably had not gone. I mean, I had good reason to know that he had not gone to confession, so I asked him, "Have you gone to confession?" And he said no. I said, "Well, it's better not to commune." And he became very angry and yelled and threatened me that he will take me to the bishop and he will report me and that I must commune him. And so this attitude, this stance for this particular soul, of course, is not for his benefit, and it weighs against him. And so at the time of his repose, if he's not repented of this, he's not sought forgiveness, it might be an obstacle for him. And because God wants the salvation of sinners, he may suffer in order to be freed from this, with this weight and this guilt. And so it's a mystery for us with our tiny little intellects, which we think we know so much, but we know so little, to make sense of all of this man's life, or each man's life, and what is happening to him is happening. And there's so many thoughts and actions that are a mystery to us, but God knows. And so that's why we must trust in God. And this is what faith means. It means not belief in God, but trust in God. Oftentimes we confuse that. There are two kinds of faith. There's the faith that I believe in the existence of God. I believe his incarnation and his crucifixion, resurrection. We confess that in the creed. That's the most basic and the most essential, of course, if we're going to be called Christians and Orthodox Christians. But if we're going to make any spiritual progress in this life, we need a second kind of faith. And that faith is not just an assent, an intellectual and moral assent and recognition, which is actually really quite basic. Those who don't have that are, we could even say, psychologically impaired, have problems. They're not even recognizing the reality of this world. But in any case, we say we do recognize this reality, we accept it, and we worship the God that has been revealed to us, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, to make progress spiritually, though, we need to trust him. And this is really what the faith, at the heart of faith, means. It means embystosyne in Greek. And we have the word faith, pistis, is in this word. Embystosyne is in the word, the faith is in the word trust. So it's actually the heart of the word, and the true meaning, the deeper meaning, the most significant meaning of the word faith is to trust God. And in these moments at the end of our life, and especially when we're facing with these trials and tribulations, and we're called upon to trust God because he knows. He knows what we need. He knows. And so we need to always remember that we are so small. Our intellects are so limited. Our logic is so impaired. We are so poor spiritually. Even us Orthodox Christians, even those who've made the pilgrimage to the Orthodox Church, at the end of the day, if we really want to be strict with ourselves and compare ourselves to the saints of the Church, we are the poorest of all Orthodox Christians that have ever walked the face of this earth. And so, most of all, first of all, and first and last in our life is to remember we need to trust God and trust that he knows what is best for us and what is good for our salvation. And that is so hard because we're so proud today. We just so trust ourselves so much. The whole society just imbues this to us, to trust ourselves and not God. It's a tremendous temptation for the last Christians. These days are days of tremendous apostasy. And so we should probably actually, in fact, be quite uneasy when we don't have trials and tribulations, because that means the surgery of the great surgeon, which he does to heal us, is not taking place. That we're not in the hospital of the Church. We're not getting worked on by the great and wonderful doctor of our souls. On the contrary, though, we're oftentimes most concerned and most troubled when we do have troubles and trials in our life. Exactly the opposite, in other words, of what spiritually we should be doing. So these are some thoughts for your benefit, and I hope that in your times of trials and tribulations, you can remember that above all, to trust God, and that he's doing whatever he's doing in this, and whatever he's allowing to happen in this world in this time, for our benefit, for our salvation, for our healing. And that if we can take the mask off before the time of our departure, before our death, if we can remove those in time, so that we, at the time of our death, we don't have to remove them. We already have self-knowledge. Then we will have done a great thing spiritually for ourselves. So, first and foremost, let's work on self-knowledge, understanding who we are, not living behind a mask. And then the more self-knowledge we've attained, the more we understand that God is at work with every trial and tribulation, every difficulty in this world is for our purification. And then we will just stand in awe of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who is working mysteriously for everyone's salvation. And we will stand in awe and glorify God and thank God. In our next program, God willing, in a week's time, we'll be down in Athens, and I'll be giving a talk in the diocese just in the suburbs of Athens to Greek priests. They've asked me to come and talk to them about the Protestant mindset, the way Protestants understand and work, because in Athens, in today's Athens, there is a great influx of not only Protestants, but sects, Eastern religions, tremendous challenge to the faithful and a tremendous bear and weight on the priests who are called to care for their flock. And so they've gathered together from each parish a group of about seven laymen along with the priests. They're going to be meeting, and they've asked me to come and talk to them and help them understand the whole Protestant mindset as much as I can. I'll try to explain to them how to encounter, how to deal with, how to approach the Protestant missionary who's coming to Athens, who's coming to the knocking on their doorstep in their neighborhood, in their parish. And so, God willing, next week, the next program, we'll be talking to you from Athens and giving you a sense of what this encounter was like as much as I can. Of course, the talk will be in Greek, but before and after, traveling down and coming back by plane, we'll stop and we'll give you a sense of what happened and what was said and what were the questions of the clergy. And I think it'll be very interesting for all of us. I'm really looking forward to hearing what they have to say about the environment and what's happening in Athens today. And also, I think it'll be generally a mutual enriching experience because, for the most part, Greek priests have not been exposed to the Protestant mentality and the Protestant world. And so, God willing, we'll be able to assist them in better approaching for the salvation of the Protestants themselves who've come as missionaries, but also for the protection of the flock of Christ. So until next week, may God be with you.
You've been listening to Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Alban Hears, founder of Uncut Mountain Press and rector of the Parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.